In Matthew 16, it talks about the Lord Jesus. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan is trying. The gates of hell are trying to tear down the church, but it will not prevail. I want to read a verse in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ paid an awful lot for the church. It cost him a tremendous amount. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself for the church. He gave everything he had. That verse that was read earlier, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Are the foundations being broken down in our lives? Our brother mentioned about moral and doctrinal and ecclesiastical evil coming in. And he warned us about building with those things on God's church. But yet, somehow spiritual lethargy comes in. And what causes that? Let's go back to Ephesians 5. And verse 25, starting at the beginning of the verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It brings in our marriages. The marriage relationship. What you are in your home is what you are in the assembly. And if our marriages are being broken down, it's going to weaken the assembly. As I look around, I see a lot of young families. I see some who are not yet married, but there's interests. But as you get ready to get married, and if you are already married, you will know that two people have different ideas and different expectations. And in your marriage, perhaps your father is the one who takes out the trash. And as a woman, you expect your husband to take out the trash. And if it doesn't happen, your expectations are destroyed. And if your husband or your wife does not live up to your expectations, you're offended and you're hurt. And marriage is a very difficult thing. It doesn't have to be, but sometimes it is. There's struggles in a marriage. And if you don't understand the differences between a man and a woman, your life is going to be very difficult. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Men were addressed first. It says, love your wife. If your wife knows that you love her, she will be happy. And she'll see by your actions and your comments that you make that you love her. Ladies, the last part of the verse talks about reverence your husband. That's respect. You need to give your husband respect. And if your husband knows that you respect him, if you respect his thoughts and you respect his work and you respect his decisions, your husband should be happy. Unless he is selfish or perverted. This love and this respect, it's unconditional. The Lord Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for it. Did we deserve it? No. Does your wife deserve to be loved by you? Does your husband deserve to be respected by you? This verse doesn't address whether you deserve it or not. If your wife does not respect you, what are you to do? It says, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. That's the response. And if your husband doesn't show you love, What is your response? It should be a response of respect. But that's not always the way it works out, because when we have difficulties or differences of opinions in our marriages, sometimes you may expect your husband to just know how to react or to say things just right, and he doesn't do it. And it can make you angry. And you get feelings of malice in your heart. It's possible. It happens. 50% of marriages end up in divorce. And there's a reason. Because of expectations that are not met. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5. You know, what you are right now in your life before you are married, that is what you're going to be when you're in your marriage. And so, if you want to know what your husband is going to be like after you're married, look at him now. Is he selfish? What is he like? He will be more of that as he gets older. Except by the grace of God, it works on him. But Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." We're told to cleave to our wives. That means to hold on to. Don't let anybody disturb that marriage relationship. Don't let anybody get in and break you asunder. And even you yourself. Don't do anything that would cause that marriage to break up. Sometimes a husband and wife get married, but they don't really leave their parents. This verse says to leave your parents. And that means more than just moving out of the house. You need to break your ties to your mother and your father. They have no more authority over you. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents." When you are married, you are no more a child. You do not obey your parents. Now you establish your own family circle, and the man is the head of that. And you are responsible now for everything that goes on in your marriage. It is not your parents or your in-laws. They should break their... You don't break the ties completely, but as far as authority and responsibility, they have no more authority over you. And so, don't let your parents or your relatives control decisions, because it will cause you, the husband and wife, it will cause arguments among you. And they will break down, your relatives can break down your one mind. And you're supposed to be cleaving to one another. And they'll disturb the love that you have for one another, because your wife will want to do what her parents say. She always has done that. And now she's under your authority. And you will want to obey your parents. And it just, you need to be your own unit and cleave one to another. And another thing that happens sometimes is that when things aren't going smoothly in a marriage, that we complain to our friends or relatives every time our husband or wife does something that maybe we don't like. And don't let anyone get inside your marriage and give you bad advice and disturb your one body of marriage. It says in our verse, they are no more twain, but one flesh. And so, don't be telling others about what happened, what your husband or your wife does. Now, there are exceptions to that, but we won't get into that right now. And then that verse that we had in Ephesians 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, every one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now let's go over to Genesis chapter 29. And verse 34. This is Leah, Jacob and Leah. She was having another child. And in this instance, Jacob had married Leah. He was forced to marry her. And he didn't really love her. There was no communication between the two. In verse 34... So Leah conceived again and bare a son and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined to me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi. And so Leah, she was hoping that there would be a closeness of communication with her husband. Husbands, your wife is no different. Your wife wants to be joined to you. She wants to be joined in an intimate communion with you. Intimate means a connection of thoughts, a sharing of thoughts and ideas. And your wife wants to be one with you in thoughts and ideas. And so she wants you to be close to her, to stay near to her. Jacob and Leah, they had a troublesome marriage. And at one time God said, in the Garden of Eden, to the woman, she said, the desire of the woman will be towards her husband. And so our wives, their desire is towards us, towards the man. She wants to give you respect. She wants to give you the place of responsibility. But sometimes as men, we get lax and we, whatever you say, whatever you want to do, and we don't take our responsibility in the marriage seriously and be a leader in the home as the head of the unit. And so Leah, she desired to be close, to have that intimacy of fellowship with Jacob. So we need to stay close to our wives so we can connect with them emotionally to our wife. A wife needs to be intimately and emotionally attached to her husband. And if we're not aware of that as men, we become self-focused on what we are doing and we forget about what our wife needs and our wife wants. And we make sure that she takes care of everything that I am and everything that I want. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. I know as our busy lives, we're not always together all the time. Maybe meals aren't eaten together. Maybe you don't walk together. But this verse says the woman is not without the man and the man is not without the woman. So it's important for us to be a family unit together. You eat together. I know the man has to go out into the working world, but you do come home and you can sit down and you can eat together. You can read together. You can walk together. You can sit together. You can make decisions together. And you can talk about the children and how you're going to spend the money and who's responsible for this and that. And so there's the husband and wife. They are not independent one of another. They're to cleave to one another. And they neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. And so we should operate together. There needs to be a closeness. The wife needs to be close. She needs to have affection. She needs to be touched. And not only sexually, but she needs to be touched at other times too. And she needs affection and to hold her hand or to give her a hug. Or a smile. Spend time together, getting to know one another and communicating on an equal level. And you need to treat your wife in a way that lets her know that she is valuable to you and that you appreciate her opinions. Christ gave himself for the church. He let us know that we are valuable to him. And that's how we need to be with our wives, to let them know that they are valuable to us. Go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. According to knowledge. You need to understand your wife. God has put the husband in a position as head in the relationship. Now, I know some people think that head means that you're the king. And that whatever you say, that's the law. And we rule with an iron fist and keep our wives under our thumbs. That's not what it means to be the head. To be the head means to be a leader. The head needs to know what the needs and the wants and the desires of the people who are following him are. He needs to know their strengths and their weaknesses so he can lead them. And so the husband needs to know his wife. You need to know what are her concerns. What are her needs? What are her desires? What are her problems? But we always get it turned around and, now you make sure you take care of my needs. You make sure you know what my concerns are. And you toe the line and you do what I say. And what kind of marriage relationship do we have? And we try to mold our wives to be something that God did not intend them to be. And then after they become what we force them into, we don't like them anymore. A leader must understand. A head is a leader. You must understand your wife. And you need to listen to her. And I can stand up here and say these things, but I'm speaking to myself too. We need to sympathize with our wives. What are her problems? What are her concerns? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and we are to emulate that. Now the end of the verse says, verse 7, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. So in Malawi, some of the men, they came to me with this verse, and because the women, they carry the big heavy loads on their head and they do a lot of the work in the garden and they're stronger than most of the men. And they came to me with this verse and said, now what does this verse mean? That the woman is the weaker vessel. And it's kind of a challenge, but what does that mean, that she's the weaker vessel? She's more vulnerable than you are. You see, as the head, as the leader, you are responsible for all the decisions that are made. Even if your wife has input, you are still responsible. And every deed that you as a man do, everything you do, every decision you make, it affects your wife. Whether it's good or bad, it affects your wife. And you see, a woman, as a girl, she's grown up under the authority of her parents, her father, her mother, and she does whatever they tell her to do. And she gets to know what life is like under her parents. And then all of a sudden she's taken out, and now she's responsible to you, and you are responsible to her. That's a big step, and that can be scary. She's subject to you physically to provide for her. When God created marriage, he took Adam, put him to sleep, and took a rib out from his side, right next to his heart. Right next to his heart, that's where our love comes from. And so God intended that a man loves his wife. And it's under his arm. And so that's where our arms are there to protect. Our arms are there to provide for our wife. And notice that the Lord didn't take a bone from the foot of Adam so he could walk all over his wife. Neither did he take the bone from his head so that the woman could rule over the man. But he took the bone from the side so they can walk along together. The husband is also responsible for his wife emotionally, to know her concerns and her needs, and to consider her ideas. Husbands, our verse here says, give honor to the wife. So husbands, we need to honor our wives, provide for them, protect them, and love them. Create an atmosphere where they can blossom and grow into who God made them and wants them to be. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. This isn't talking about holding hands. This is talking about fornication. But it's good to realize that fornication, it starts somewhere else. It starts with a look. Maybe it starts by touching the hand. So you need to be careful. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. But yet in society today, the woman is made out to be a sex object. And so when a man goes into marriage, quite often, the man's idea of a woman is a sex object. And he doesn't treat her as a person. And he lives selfishly and thinks only of himself. But yet, we are to love our wives even as ourselves. We treat ourselves good. We need to treat our wives good also. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Have his own wife. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Benevolence is kindness. Are you kind to your wife? Do you look out for her good? What about the wife? How do you treat your husband? You see, when marriage gets out of order, we stop being kind to one another. And then we say, well, she doesn't love me. She doesn't respect me, so I'm not going to love her. And then she says, well, if you don't love me, I'm not going to respect you. And it goes into a vicious circle. And it's hard to get out. And so we need to render benevolence one to another. Verse 4, the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband has not power over of his own body, but the wife. In other words, you don't belong to yourself. You now belong to your husband. You now belong to your wife. You don't belong to another woman. You have your own wife. And you need to reserve your body for her. Don't give your body to someone else. With the internet today, many people give their bodies to other women with pornography. As I look around, I don't know who of you are guilty. But young men, sometimes the idea is that when you get married, you can just put that away. It won't bother you anymore, and marriage will solve your problems. But it won't. When it becomes a part of you, you can't get rid of it. And marriage won't satisfy your perverted lust. And it will destroy your life. We're told in 1 Corinthians 11, and it says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. So if you are at the Lord's table, you need to examine yourself daily. And when something starts to get a hold of you, no matter what it is, you need to confess that and put it away. Otherwise, it's going to grow into something that's going to destroy you. And eventually the assembly will need to get involved and to put you away as a wicked person. Because sin doesn't just stay little. It grows and it becomes a habit and it will destroy you. You don't belong to anybody else. You need to save your body for your husband. You need to save your body for your wife. Verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And so here, the husband or the wife is not to withhold themselves from their husband or their wife. But God does give a reason for not coming together in that way. It says for prayer and fasting. I ask you, have you ever prayed? I'm sure everyone can say yes. But then I ask you again, have you ever fasted? Why not? Is fasting something old-fashioned? Something they only did in the Old Testament? Something they only did under the law? Do we really care about what God's view is? What God's ways are? Or do we only care about ourselves? Fasting. I think it shows dependence on the Lord. Prayer shows dependence on the Lord. And if we're giving ourselves to prayer and fasting, included in that is a time of separation from our husband or our wife. And so I say these things because when the family breaks down and the man who is part of that breakdown, when he is part of the assembly, and he is responsible, perhaps in the assembly. He takes part in the assembly. He's a help there. And God has put everyone in the body to be one members, one of another. And when the marriage breaks down, that weakness comes into the assembly. And we see people sitting in the assembly who never take part. And I know God has different gifts for different ones, and He's maybe not going to use everyone publicly. But the Lord wants your heart. He wants your worship. He wants your praise. He wants your body. Glorify therefore God in your body.
We sing number 318. O Lamb of God, still keep us close to thy dear side. It's only there in safety and peace and in a fire. 318.
O Lamb.